sustained us through another beautiful day of life and provided us another opportunity that we could assemble together in a fashion like this and be able to end our day being together and worship to our great God. I'm appreciative for that. I'm thankful to God for that, and it's good to see each and every one of you. I appreciate all the good comments and encouragement that you gave this morning after the sermon. That goes a long way, and I hope that you know that. And by the way, anything that I preach starts at home, with my home, starts with me. And I always examine myself before I preach a lesson and tell someone else that they need to be doing something or ought to be doing something or looking at their life. As Paul would state, that I kept under my body and brought it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself would be a castaway. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. And so it starts at home, each and every sermon. We're going to continue, as Mark pointed out, with our study that we had this morning on asking the question, why is the house of God forsaken? One of the points I made this morning is when children receive no correction. This first point is akin to that as we think about that question by saying that children are not taught. I put all the references up there. Hopefully, if you're taking notes, you can get them, and that'll give you time to look at those. We notice some of these passages, and so we won't turn to each one of these as a couple of these are repetitive from this morning, but Ephesians chapter 6 and then verse 4. Fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Or Proverbs 22 and in verse 6, train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from that. From days of old, God expected children to be taught, and there's no substitution for that. There's no substituting the teaching of our children and the responsibility that is given primarily to fathers in that regard. We can't send them off and expect them to be taught the truth. We've got to take charge of that and teach them the right ways. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and its commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. That's three generations represented in verse 2. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Now notice verse 7 as we think about this point. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. How many of us parents strive to do that? Now, let me also say that if you try to compare yourself with everybody coming and going, you're going to find times when you are just disappointed with the work that you're doing. That's not always good, by the way. We've got to do the best we can with the ability that we have to do that. Someone else may be able to have a better ability to do that than what we might have. But we've got to do the best with the ability that we have in teaching our children to obey the words of the Lord. And that starts at home. You can't wait until a child is a teenager and then say, well, maybe I need to talk to them about the Bible. That won't work. Maybe the case that you obeyed the gospel when your children were teenagers. Well, you can start to teach them. But the rearing of the children and teaching them to follow the statutes, commandments, and the laws of the Lord began when they are young. And that's when we need to begin to instill those things. Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 10 teaches us that we are but one generation away from not knowing the Lord. Judges chapter 2. And let's begin with verse 7. This is a passage probably that you're familiar with. Judges 2, verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. When the Bible says that they were gathered unto their fathers, that means that they died. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. I ask you again, how many generations are we away from not knowing the Lord? One generation. And it begins with the teaching that we instill with our children. And by the way, not only our young people need to be taught, but older people as well. When we ask the question, why is the house of God forsaken? Folks, it can be forsaken when the older people don't learn what they need to learn. We can't just say, I was taught as a youth and I need no more instruction. That's why we have Bible studies, Bible classes, whatever the case may be, so that our older people can continue to learn and to grow. We're encouraged, admonished to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. That's a lifelong endeavor, to strive to do that. And there's no substitution for personal study. No shortcuts. I can't do your studying for you, and you can't do that for me. You've got to take the time to study for yourself and investigate the Word of God. Endeavor to be a good student of the Bible. I remember a phrase that a gospel preacher had mentioned years ago. I was just a young boy when I remember him saying this. And he was teaching a Bible class. And he said, we want to approach it as a detective, as an investigator. Let's do some investigating together. And he took it through that series of lessons from that standpoint, as a detective, as an investigator, to take a passage and ask some vital questions about that. That will help us increase in our knowledge of the Bible. Ask your own questions about the Bible. And when you realize that you have a deficit, a deficiency in a particular area of the Bible, use that as an opportunity to grow. Don't just say, well, yeah, I don't know, and go on. But take the time to learn that I'm challenged just about on a weekly basis with questions that sometimes I don't have the best response to, and sometimes I may not have a response to. In the work at the prison, I'm asked questions frequently when I'm there that I don't always have the answer for. But that gives me an opportunity to say, now listen, I should have had a response to that. And I need to go study that so that if I'm asked that again, I can have an answer for that. I need to know that. Or maybe I give an answer to that, but my answer wasn't the best answer. And I realize that after I give the answer. And I think to myself, I should have been able to deal with that better than what I did. I need to prepare and study for that. I'll tell you an endeavor that I had. I wanted to have the ability, either on paper or at the spur of the moment, for someone to say, what is a particular book of the Bible about? And to be able to have some source that I could go to and say, this is what that book is about. And you'll find all sorts of things in print. I hope that the lesson that we had the third quarter of next year, as we deal with the theme of the Bible, that the material I put together to give to you will help you along those lines. What's the, not necessarily the purpose of the Bible, but each book, when you break it down, we've got to study those things. And that's not just to our children, but to all of us. The house of God is forsaken when the wrong God is served. I touched on that for a little bit this morning, but we need to think about that. The children of Israel had served other gods. Now, they were not true gods, real gods. In the minds of those people, they were. But in reality, there is but one God, Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 5, I believe it is. But in Judges chapter 2, verses 12 through 17, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the Bible goes on to say that the anger of the Lord was kindled against them because they had done that. People today serve the wrong God. Remember this morning we talked about misplaced love? We need to make sure that we are serving the God of the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21 as well. I like the passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Craftiness of men he talks about. We've got to grow up in it. Be like men and not like children that are tossed to and fro. If we do that, the house of God will be forsaken. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, there's a statement that's made about that. But they've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now listen, begin with verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Folks, we're either serving the God of heaven or the God of this world. And there's no third God. We need to ask ourselves that question. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6 makes mention of the one God. I think I told you earlier that was verse 5, but it's verse 6. The house of God will be forsaken when the wrong company is kept. I brought that out in a recent sermon. But Judges chapter 2 and Judges chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Notice what God had told them. You shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides. And their God shall be a snare unto you. God said you drive them out. They failed to do that. God said make no league with them. They failed to obey the voice of the Lord. There's danger in keeping the wrong company today. Remember we talked about that recently. Proverbs chapter 22. Turn there and let's notice some references along those lines. Proverbs chapter 22. And begin with verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? What type of company I keep? What kinds of friends I have? What kind of associates I have? Notice the next verse. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You know, things have a tendency to rub off on us, don't they? Be careful about your company that you keep. I cherish the relationships and the associations that I have with godly people and my brothers and sisters in Christ, like you here at Mill Street. You look around, left to right, front and back. These are the type of people you need to make associations with. You want to have a friend and someone you can spend some time with? Look out someone among you. Spend some time with them. Endeavor to do something with them. Maybe even do some door knocking together with a brother or a sister. Do some of those things together. Iron. What's the rest of that? Iron sharpeneth iron. Think about that. You'd be stronger if you do that. Chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Notice that last part of the first verse. Neither desire to be with them. Think about that. Next time you're seeking companionship or someone to associate with and so forth. Well, the house of God to be forsaken when we want to strive to be like everyone else. I'm not concerned about what other people are doing. I'm not concerned about what other congregations are doing. Except that I can look and learn from perhaps something that they're doing. It seems to be effective by way of evangelism or listening to a preacher and sermons and so forth. I'm not overly concerned about what some congregation here in Laurel County is doing. I don't have much interest in that. I'm not saying I won't go and support someone's work. But my interest is in what we are doing. And what we can be engaged in. And how we can improve the work that we have put our hands to here. Remember, that was one of Israel's downfalls of old. 1 Samuel chapter 8 verses 4 and 5, they came to him and they say, "Thy children are old, they walk no way," or "you're old, and your children walk no ways in." They don't walk in your ways. "Make us a king." Remember that? What was the reason? Like everyone else. There's great danger in the attitude that says we want to be like others. Listen, it doesn't matter. Small crowd, large crowd. It's not about numbers as far as that goes. It's not about so-and-so, as I was told last week. Well, we get about 600 people. It's not about that. It's about the truth being taught. And the God of heaven being served. And doing what's pleasing in the sight of God. That's what matters. Sometimes someone asks me, "Well, how many do you all have?" And I'll tell them, "Sir, there's room for more." I'll just let it go with that. It's not about the number. It's about doing what God would have us to do. Exodus chapter 19 and then verse 5. And there's a host of passages, again, that you can look at on all these references and learn from these things. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." I ask you a question. Was Israel chosen because they were the largest group of people on the earth? The Bible says that God set His love on them not because they were the largest, but the fewest. And He chose them to be His peculiar people. And He says, "You'll be my peculiar treasure if you keep my commandments." The Lord's people today are described as a peculiar people. In Titus chapter 2, as well as 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9, "You're a royal priesthood, a peculiar people." We're God's people. And by the way, we need to act like God's people. You agree with that? But not only that, but the house of God will be forsaken when sound doctrine is not taught. Now, I'll tell you, that doesn't mean that I don't make mistakes. I grant you, I make mistakes. I won't do it on purpose. You may take something that I put in print and find a typo. You may see something that's wrong on the PowerPoint. A verse that's not right. A sentence that's not grammatically structured the correct way. Whatever the case may be. I'm not going to make a mistake on purpose. But I'm subject to error. But the house of God will be forsaken when sound doctrine is neglected. We need book, chapter, and verse preaching. And I strive to do that. Other preachers may preach differently. They don't have to preach like Donnie Oliver, and I don't have to preach like them. God doesn't need another Donnie Oliver. He needs another Jacob. A Jacob and a Nathan and Blaine and on down the line. You don't have to do things the way I do, and I don't have to do things the way you do. God needs each and every one of us to do things according to the ability that we have, that God has given us. Book, chapter, and verse, preaching. Sound doctrine, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10 talks about that. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1 talks about sound doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 through 4 talks about the fact that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And so I try to put emphasis on sound doctrine. Book, chapter, verse for the things that I say. Hebrews chapter 4 and then verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is not a dead letter, but it's living. And it had accomplished what God intends for it to accomplish. The power of God to save, Paul talked about in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. But the house of God, mark it down, will be forsaken when sound doctrine is no longer preached. And we need that from our Bible class rooms. We need that from the podium in the adult class here. We need that each and every time from the pulpit here. Sound doctrine. One more. And that is, the house of God will be forsaken when the goal of heaven is lost. Think about that. Sometimes we forget what it's all about, don't we? You think about those at Ephesus that had left their first love. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Or those of Laodicea in Revelation 3, 14 through 16, who were blinded about their own condition before the Lord. And he said, you think that you are rich and so forth, and you don't realize that you're poor, blind, miserable, and naked. What's our condition before the Lord? The Lord said, I'll spew thee out. I'll vomit you out because of your lukewarmness, straddling the fence. Can't make up their mind. Remember that passage in the Old Testament? How long halt you between two opinions? If Baal be God, serve him. But if God of heaven is heaven, then serve him. Make up your mind. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be two-faced in your service to God. I'm not saying two-faced me. I hope you don't do that. But in service to God, make up our mind. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul talked about the fact that he didn't account that he had already achieved or apprehended. But he said, I press forward or toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what it's about. And when it's all said and done, every knee shall bow to God and every tongue shall confess unto God. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that we have done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Romans 14, 10 through 12, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 10. You're going to be there, and so am I. And we'll give an account on that great day of judgment as to whether or not the house of God has been forsaken. So what's it going to be? Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. You need to obey the gospel before it's too late. I don't know when God is going to call an end to time. In fact, no man knows. I know that 2 Peter chapter 3, that chapter, really the theme of that is, we studied in our Thursday night class last week, was the long-suffering of God. Account that the long-suffering of God is salvation. God allows time to continue in the hopes that individuals will hear, believe, and obey the gospel of Christ. We need to obey. Be watchful. Be ready. The invitation remains the same as it did this morning. To hear the gospel, believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. When you do that, the Lord will forgive you of everything that you've ever done in the past. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Add you to His church that He purchased with His own blood, Acts 2, 47, Acts 20, 28. And like the eunuch of Acts 8, you can go on your way rejoicing, knowing that if you go home tonight and you pillow your head, that you can do so in the blessed assurance that if today is the last day of your earthly pilgrimage, that heaven will be your eternal home. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away and you've turned your back on the Lord. Began to do things that you ought not do and behave in a such a way that you know is wrong. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the gospel call, we bid you come.